Good morning, everybody. On to a hopefully lighter, brighter subject. Whiting is behind tab 6. We have several actions to perform today. We have to approve preferred alternatives, and then we have to approve draft amendment 19 to go out to public hearing. So with that in mind, we do have a couple of documents behind tab 6 that you'll probably want to pull out. One is a council decision document for draft amendment 19. The other is a PowerPoint presentation that Maura Kelly from the service is going to give for us on the interim action that is going into effect, just to bring you up to speed. And the other one is document 5, which is the draft draft meeting summary of our January 18th meeting. With that said, I believe, Maura, you're going to lead off, right? Okay.
Just in terms of process, what we'll do is we'll get the presentation, and then we'll take our 90-minute break after that and come back for whatever actions you want.
That sounds real good, Mr. Chair.
How about a several months break?
Hello. I'm Maura Kelly with Sustainable Fisheries, so I'm going to give a quick update on the secretarial amendment for the whiting fishery. As you are all incredibly aware, the Magnuson Act required annual catch limits and accountability measures for all managed species by fishing year 2011 for fisheries not subject to overfishing. And the council had been developing Amendment 19, but it's been delayed for a number of reasons, including the ability to incorporate the results of SAW 51, so we didn't have to change things midstream. So when it became apparent that Amendment 19 was not going to be implemented on time, the agency decided to prepare a secretarial amendment. This is done under the authority of Section 304C1, which is different than an interim action, and it's different than an emergency action. It's done in situations like this where the council isn't able to complete an amendment on time and something has to be in place. So there's no expiration date to the secretarial amendment. It will be in place until it is replaced by another action, specifically Amendment 19. There are a number of requirements that the Act lists for secretarial amendments. There has to be an opportunity for the public to participate during the preparation of the secretarial amendment, and we interpreted that to mean prior to choosing alternatives and prior to writing an EA and analyzing those alternatives. So we conducted public hearings in October. We had 4 hearings, one on Long Island, one in New Jersey, one in Gloucester, and one in Narragansett. There was a public comment period. Unfortunately, those were very poorly attended public hearings, and we didn't receive many comments, but the ones that we did are specifically addressed in the draft EA, if anyone's curious. Some of the other requirements for secretarial amendment is that it must be submitted to the appropriate council for consideration and comment, and that your comments are received back to us prior to the end of the comment period. The comment period is a mandatory 60-day comment period, and it ends February 21st. So here's just a summary of the proposed rule. We combined the proposed rule and notice of availability, and it was published on December 23rd. Some information if anybody in the audience wants to comment as well. The council's comments are due prior to the end of the comment period, like I said, February 21st. So in order to keep the secretarial amendment very, very focused on just ACLs and AMs, that's all that's included in the secretarial amendment. So here's a quick summary of the measures. It's the same basic ACL framework that is being discussed for Amendment 19. We have a pound-for-pound payback as a post-season accountability measure and an in-season accountability measure that would reduce the possession limit of any of the stocks to an incidental limit at 90% of the TAO. We worked very closely with Andy and most of the people involved in writing the secretarial EA are also on the Whiting PDT. So there's as much consistency as we possibly could between the two rules, given the timing. Here's an overview of the ACL framework that was developed by the PDT and the committee and approved by the council in September. The ABC's control rules were approved by the council's SSC, and it was decided that the ACL would equal 95% of the ABC. The TALs are calculated using the 2008 to 2010 discard rate and a 3% set aside for state landings. Here's a summary of the catch limits in the secretarial amendment. You'll note that the southern whiting set of catch limits is a little different than the others. The offshore hake is included in this fishery, but it's there wasn't enough scientific information to come up with catch limits on its own. So the PDT recommended and the SSC approved increasing the southern silver hake ABC by 4% to account for offshore hake. They're commonly almost exclusively caught together, and they're marketed together as whiting. So in the documents and in this presentation, southern whiting refers to the southern stock of silver hake and offshore hake combined. I highlighted the TAL on the bottom because, as we'll see on the next page, this is how the TALs have been proposed. So it would end up with... We've proposed 108 metric tons for northern red hake, which is the one of most concern to the committee and most people because it's the smallest and the closest to recent catch. However, since the publication of the proposed rule, the Whiting PDT has discovered that we made an error in presenting that information to the committee. We used the 2007 to 2009 discard estimate instead of 08 to 10. The difference is minor for silver hake and actually increases the TAL for southern red hake, but it's more significant for northern red hake, which is, again, was already the smallest of the TALs. At the January committee meeting, the committee concurred with the PDT's corrections, and we think we'll have the opportunity to adjust that in the secretarial amendment final rule so that we can stay consistent. So here's the updated calculations of the TAL. The biggest difference is it went from a 58% discard rate to 65%, and it dropped the federal TAL to 90.3 metric tons. The northern silver hake and southern whiting TALs, again, are roughly the same, and the southern red hake out increased slightly. The proposed accountability measures include an in-season trigger at 90% of any one of those four TALs to reduce the stock possession limit to an incidental limit. We've proposed 1,000 pounds for silver or whiting and 400 pounds for red hake. Because of the timing of the two rules, we had to select these incidental limits before the PDT and the committee had the opportunity to complete their analysis and make recommendations. We used slightly different approaches at coming up with these limits. The PDT recommended 200, 300, or 400 pounds, and 500, 1,000, or 2,000 pounds. So we all felt pretty good that even with the different approaches, we came up with very similar recommendations. As we'll discuss shortly, the PDT and committee have recommended 400 pounds for red hake, but have a different recommendation for silver and offshore hake. The postseason AM that we're proposing is a pound-for-pound payback. Again, because of the timing, we had to come up with a postseason AM before the committee was able to make a recommendation. So it's different than what we'll talk about for Amendment 19, but not significantly. Again, the implications for Amendment 19 are that given the timing, the measures proposed in the secretarial amendment will likely be implemented prior to Amendment 19 being submitted. So the status quo alternative, when we talk about Amendment 19, are in those instances the secretarial amendment measures. So it takes a little bit of a leap of faith in writing the draft documents for Amendment 19. So just sort of keep those in mind when we get to the Amendment 19 discussion. We tried to ensure that we were meeting the requirements of the Act without implementing measures that would sort of limit the decisions of the Council for Amendment 19 in any way. So we tried to pick the most broad and general measures that we could come up with. The other big twist is that because we're implementing the ABC and ACL framework ahead of Amendment 19, there isn't an alternative, another reasonable alternative for Amendment 19. So under the Amendment 19 discussion, you'll be sort of adopting this formally instead of choosing between alternatives. So it's just something to keep in mind when we get to the Amendment 19 discussion. Again, this the proposed rule comment period ends February 21st, and these are the mechanism for you to comment. So, and that's it. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you. Are there any questions concerning the presentation? Okay. What will Andy?
I was just going to outline a little bit about council comment, if that's okay right now.
Fine, and then we'll take a break.
Okay, there are three areas that are a little bit different between the secretarial amendment and Amendment 19. One are the TAL corrections and updates made by the PDT. Second is the Silver Hake accountability measure, and the third being the council's what the committee has recommended for a preferred alternative for the postseason AMs. After council discussion, staff can can draft a comment letter to be submitted to the regional office before the comment deadline.
Any questions for Andy? Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll proceed with that. I've just got a couple of questions on process, but we'll deal with them then. We're short some members, but since we're not going to take a vote immediately, we can continue on. Let me also use this opportunity. I had said that I had some process questions. We sort of caucused during the break. My questions had to do with where we were in the timelines and the priorities and the original concept that we were hoping that the secretarial amendment would match up perfectly with what we wanted to do. Which doesn't seem to be the case. So I was just trying to get at least straight in my mind as to where we were, and I think we're in good shape. So I'll turn it back over to you, Dave.
Okay. Andy has a presentation, and will walk you through the motions we need to make today to move on.
Did we want to clarify the council's comments on the secretarial amendment first, or take that up last?
I don't think the council had any comments based on what they did before the break.
The committee had one motion with a comment on the amendment on the secretarial amendment regarding the Silver Hake AM. There are some corrections and updates to be made to the TAL and the postseason accountability measure preferred alternative by the committee is different than what's in the secretarial amendment.
Right. Okay, why don't you just run through that first, and I guess that would be a separate motion.
Okay, the committee at the January 18th meeting passed a motion to comment on the secretarial amendment to make the Silver Hake AM consistent with the preferred alternative in Amendment 19. The secretarial amendment is proposing a 1,000-pound possession limit. The based upon a PDT analysis in the Amendment 19 document, the committee chose a 2,000-pound preferred alternative, and the committee was had made a motion to recommend that the council comment to change that AM. The TALs in the document are in the Amendment 19 document are a little bit different than in the secretarial amendment. Maura mentioned that during her presentation. They result from a correction in the years used to calculate the discard rate, primarily affecting the north, which lowers the TAL in the north a bit from about 108 tons to about 90 tons. It also includes some updated data that had been received and incorporated into the database in December regarding transfers at sea for bait. The third item is the postseason accountability measure. The secretarial amendment is proposing a one-for-one payback in the second year following an overage to account for overages in a year of the ACL. The preferred alternative that the committee is recommending is an adjustment in the TAL trigger from 90%, lowering it for overages to reduce the risk. So they were, I think, outlines the possible comments that the council can make.
Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're kind of caught in a catch-22. If these are the things we want in our amendment, we need to go out to public hearing, we need to fully analyze them before the council, and do all that kind of stuff. So I think it's premature for us to comment to say we want this in the secretarial amendment that's going to take place. So it's kind of strange that you don't have the analysis in front of you. We haven't had public hearings about these measures. The service has already had them on what's in their secretarial amendment. So I think we're asking you to say this is what you want without us completing Amendment 19. Do you look at it that way, Andy? Or, I mean, I think this stuff should be part of Amendment 19.
And it is part of Amendment 19. And maybe a way to go about it is after we go through Amendment 19 to come back to this issue. And so the council has something, does or does not comment by the February 21st deadline.
Well, I think that's the question for the council. Do you want to make comments on the differences between the two plans, or do you just want to ignore making the comment, finish Amendment 19, and you're going to do Amendment 19 anyway, and you're going to have these changes in it most likely. So it's basically a recommendation from the committee. If you want to make a comment, these would be the comments that you might want to make.
I'm getting confused again on the process. I guess that we should just move ahead with Amendment 19.
That's fine. I mean these were just differences that occurred, and there is a public comment period that's open, and if the council wanted to comment, they would have that ability through this council meeting to do that, and it would basically involve somebody writing a letter to the service on behalf of the council saying, these are things we might want to recommend in your interim action changes. It certainly doesn't have to be done. They're not really substantive changes. They're just differences between the two plans.
So does anybody want to comment on, do we want to have comments on the secretarial amendment, or do we want to just move into Amendment 19 and try and proceed with that and get it done and move on? Doug?
I guess the suggestion was made was that maybe we go into 19 and then consider whether we want to make comments was one way of doing it, and I would certainly support that.
Okay. Let's do that.
Okay. Andy, can you proceed?
Yep. Thank you. Just to bring everybody up to speed a little bit, a little brief background and history of development of this amendment. Started actually before the benchmark assessment, but we realized that we needed scientific information and scheduled a benchmark assessment in December of 2010 on red silver and offshore hake. The assessment produced instead of an analytical assessment that we had hoped that it would, it produced an assessment that the status was determined much like it was prior to the benchmark assessment, with new information and recommended changes to the overfishing definition. And the status coming out of the assessment was based upon these revised overfishing definitions. Because the outcome was different than expected, we had to develop some new science to develop ABCs and ACLs to account for scientific uncertainty. We used the PDT to do that. The SSA reviewed some proposed methods in April, and we came back to the SSC in August with the final methods and proposed ABCs and ACLs. The SSC approved using the 40th percentile as the basis for setting ABC for red hake. One of the concerns, 50% is risk neutral, so it's somewhat risk adverse. One of the issues of setting a higher the ABC at the 40th percentile was that red hake had the potential of becoming a choke species, a lower valued species that would prevent fishing on other highly more valuable species. For silver hake, the SSC recommended using the 25th percentile to account for scientific uncertainty. There were certain unquantified uncertainties that were brought to the attention of the SSC. At that point, we had an idea of where the ACLs would be relative to landings. And we began work with the AEP and the Oversight Committee from that point forward to develop TAL allocations, accountability measures, and management measures that are being proposed in this draft Amendment 19 document. I'm going to refer to two documents which you should have at your disposal. One is Document 1, which is the decision document that I'm going to be walking through in the table, and the second one being the draft amendment document, Document number 4. I'll briefly refer to a couple of tables within that document and maps as we go along. So starting with the first line on the decision document, allowable biological catch, there is a separate section instead of in alternatives which deals with specifications, because as Maura briefly mentioned during her presentation, the secretarial amendment, or what we believe will be implemented on May 1st, becomes the status quo or no action. So the council would be approving the same ABCs that are contained in the secretarial action. We'll be following the same flowchart that is on page 29 of the document, and there is a map, map 2 on page 32 of the document, which shows where the northern and southern stock areas are. The allowable biological catch that is based upon the 40th percentile for red hake and the 25th percentile for silver hake are under specification or values analyzed, 280 metric ton in the north for red hake, 3,259 tons in the south, and for silver hake, a little over 13,000 tons in the north and almost 34,000 tons in the south. That 34,000 tons includes the 4% addition to account for the normal and customary catches of offshore hake, which are rarely separated on trips or identified as such in the landings. There's a table 4 on page 35 which shows the relationship of those TALs or ACLs, ABCs and ACLs to the landings. The committee is recommending setting the ACL at 95% of the ABC to account for management uncertainty. So the both values are shown there and also shown in the council decision document. The thing to realize is that the ACL in the for northern red hake is about the same or slightly lower than the 2010 catch and recent catch in previous years, is about double the amount caught in the southern area. But for silver hake, the proposed ACLs are 3 to 4 times as much as the recent catch. So that's the take-home message and the thing to keep in mind as we walk through the various alternatives being proposed. And before I stop to take any questions on those specifications, one additional alternative in the document is really a housekeeping issue, is to formally adopt the SOL 51 overfishing definitions as the preferred alternative in section 5.1.1 on page 36 of your document. So are there any questions about ABCs and ACLs and the overfishing definition before I move on to the TAL allocations and AMs in the northern and southern areas?
Anyone on the council have questions on that? Anyone in the audience? Back to you.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to page 2 of the decision document, there are two alternatives which describes a mechanism for specifying changes to the ACL specifications described on page 38 of the amendment document, which would establish a specification package to be prepared by the council with the assistance of NIMS every 3 years to adjust the specifications. It follows the same sort of process that we use for other plans, including skates. No action would mean that the council would make adjustments through existing procedures, namely a framework adjustment and or an amendment. I don't think the committee actually made as I recall, a motion on that issue. I don't have the motions here in front of me, I'm sorry. But Karen has them. The preferred alternative Yeah, I think the committee did make a motion. The preferred alternative was the specification package process. Question is, do you want to take votes on the council committee motions as we go along or save them till the end of the presentation?
Dave, did you have a process set up on when you wanted to do those?
No, I don't believe there's anything here that's real controversial. We might be able to vote on it as a package if the council agrees with all the committee alternatives. So I would recommend that we go through the presentation and then vote up the package unless people have specific concerns.
Thank you.
Okay. Continuing with the presentation, the TALs and the accountability measures are presented separately for the North and the South because they do differ in some ways, and so I'm going to walk through those. Section 5, before I get there are two annual monitoring alternatives. I'm sorry, I skipped the section. Section 5.2, in which the annual monitoring report, an annual monitoring report would be prepared by the PDT and presented to the council. It would include an in-depth analysis of trends and regulations. It would allow the opportunity for the council to make adjustments as necessary, if needed, between specification packages. And the Whiting PDT would be responsible for analyzing the data. That's the process as described in the secretarial amendment. The committee recommendation is that's a non-preferred alternative. Let me present the other two alternatives so you see what the preferred alternative is. A second process described in the document was that the report would include just simply annual landings and discard estimates, stratified mean biomass. It would be a standard report, a pro forma report prepared by the Fishery Service and presented to the council on an annual basis at summer meetings, keeping the council abreast of fishery and stock trends. That, again, is a non-preferred alternative. And after discussion at the committee level on January 18th, a third alternative was developed whereby the Fishery Service would be responsible for preparing the report and analyzing the data with some a review and oversight by the Whiting PDT with the final information presented at the summer council meeting. The committee is recommending that as a non-preferred alternative, and that would be section 5.2.2.3 on page 41 of the amendment document. That preferred alternative is somewhat of a hybrid of the other two alternatives. It wouldn't go into as much depth of analysis as the first one, but would not require as much resources as that alternative. If there are no questions, I'll move on to TAL allocations in the North. Okay. This is on page 3 of your decision document. There are two sets of alternatives to allocate TAL after accounting for discards and state landings. The after analysis, the committee adopted reducing the landings limit to account for discards during 2008 to 2010 and setting aside a 3% allocation to account for landings of silver and red hake in state waters by vessels that do not have federal permits. After accounting for those, a stock-wide TAL in the north would be 90.3 metric tons for red hake and 8,973 metric tons for silver hake. The The comparisons of those two landings and how it was calculated are shown on tables 5 and 6 on page 43 of your amendment document. And the intent of this measure is to reduce landings and potentially catch to reduce the risk of exceeding the ACL. In the north, this is the preferred alternative, is also the alternative that is included in the secretarial amendment. And so the TAL in this framework is used to set a trigger, which would be 90% of these TALs that would trigger AMs to reduce the risk, in-season AMs, to reduce the risk that the catch would exceed the ACLs. The a non-preferred alternative recommended by the committee is to allocate the TALs, which in means of landings targets but not a concrete limit, to the small mesh exemption areas, cultivator shoals separately from the four inshore mesh areas, and for based upon historic landings from those areas from 2004 to 2010 fishing years. And that would allocate 4,567 metric tons to cultivator shoals and 3,105 metric tons to the inshore areas out of that 8,973 metric tons for the northern stock area. And the purpose of the allocation and applying accountability measures to these small mesh areas is to prevent the or reduce the potential for catches in the small mesh exemption areas from affecting fishing activity elsewhere, particularly for vessels that are targeting other species. For red hake, the allocations, and I see a typo, it says 90.3 cultivator shoals, but that's not right, and 51.2 metric tons for the inshore small mesh areas. I'm sure it's correct in the document. I just mistyped it. The allocations are on Table 7 on page 46, and the right number is 16.3 metric tons for the red hake in the north. There's an additional add-on, which is outlined on page 4 of the decision document, to allow for a target rollover for the cultivator shoals areas. In other words, unused amounts in the cultivator shoals areas would be rolled over and made available to the inshore mesh areas because the cultivator shoal areas closes first and the other areas are open later into the fishing year. So that it's an adjustment and a flexibility mechanism. There is a non-preferred no-action alternative. It's not really no action, but it would not implement that particular rollover measure described as section 5342 on page 47. It would not allow that kind of rollover. To get a full picture of the alternatives and how they play out, we need to look at the accountability measures in the north. The PDT recommended and analyzed a range of measures for red hake and silver hake accountability measures using an incidental catch limit mechanism that would be triggered at 90% of the TAL trigger. For red hake, 200, 300, and 400 pounds were analyzed. After analysis, discussion, and consideration, there did not seem to be a strong difference in the effectiveness of those incidental limits to keep the landings and additional discards caused by the incidental limit from exceeding the ACL, the TAL for the northern stock area or for the small mesh areas. There was a pretty significant increase in the proportion of discards between those three alternatives. And after the analysis was presented, the committee is recommending using 400 pounds as the preferred alternative. 200 and 300 pounds would be included in the amendment, are included in the amendment as non-preferred alternatives. The results of the PDT analysis show how effective they might be, but there were certain underlying assumptions made about whether a trip would continue fishing or not, given meeting the trigger and the incidental limit, that were based upon the proportion of revenue generated from the landings of hake. The results are quite sensitive to that assumption. So the actual effect might depend upon how well the fishery can selectively fish on silver hake without catching red hake and vice versa when we get to silver hake. For the silver hake accountability measures, section 5.4.2 on page 49, again, the PDT analyzed 500, 1,000, and 2,000 pounds, similar to red hake. All were found to be effective at keeping the landings and additional induced discards below the target or landings limit, and especially given that the proposed ACL is quite a bit higher, I think 3.5 times higher in the north than recent catch, the committee felt comfortable with recommending 2,000 pounds as the preferred alternative. In this case, the secretarial amendment is proposing 1,000 pounds. Sections 5.4.3 is listed on at the bottom of page 4 of the decision document. Also propose those same incidental limits to apply to the Cultivator Shoals area and the other inshore small mesh area programs. All are being proposed as non-preferred alternatives and have been analyzed in the document. That completes my discussion of the northern area TALs and accountability measures. My next thing would be to move on to the southern area TALs and alternatives. So if there are any particular questions for clarification in the north, I'll take them and then move on to the south. All right, moving on to the south. The stock-wide annual TAL, after taking into account estimated discards from 2008 to 2010, applying a discard rate to the ACL, deducting 3% for state landings, which seemed appropriate based upon analysis, provides a TAL for the southern area of 1,336 metric tons for red hake, which is about two times recent landings, and 27,255 metric tons for silver hake, which is about four times recent landings. The PDT recommended that this alternative could be considered as preferred, but potential benefits, benefits to a quarterly allocation might be helpful if, in fact, the landings begin to reach the approach the TALs, and the advisors had recommended a quarterly allocation mechanism to spread out the catch. This was discussed at the committee meeting, and the committee has recommended the stock-wide TAL allocation as a non-preferred alternative. This is different than what is in the secretarial amendment. This is the proposed action in the secretarial amendment as a stock-wide annual TAL in the South. Section 5.5.2 describes a quarterly fishing year TAL allocation. Yes, sir.
On the last issue,
mm-hmm.
Question.
Yeah, on the Southern Stock Area TAL alternatives, I need to raise an issue about our ability to monitor on a quarterly basis. To do that and to allocate correctly to stocks, there would have to be weekly VTRs, I think you're looking at. And to process those would take several weeks. So our ability to project the landings on a quarterly basis and to close at the proper time could be challenging, more so than in other fisheries where we rely on landings data. So we would still prefer the stock-wide annual TAL with the possibility that you could add the implementation of a quarterly TAL through specifications if necessary, if performance in the fishery determines that, you know, that is the better way to go in the future. If you go with the quarterly, just be aware that our ability to monitor and close accurately will be compromised.
Okay. That concern came to light recently, and I didn't get to the monitoring yet, but one of the additional elements to this is to be able to monitor landings either by stock area, by quarter, or by small mesh exemption area. All of them rely on vessel trip reports to allocate landings to stock area and the small mesh exemption area. Breaking up the allocation to finer periods of time or finer areas does raise concerns about the ability to use the weekly VTRs that are proposed in this amendment our ability to affect the accountability measure in time. One way of possibly dealing with this that we had just discussed was to think about modifying the 90% TAL trigger to some lower amount to if the council pursues quarterly allocations or small mesh exemption area allocations, particularly as its preferred alternative. If you want to do that, it'd probably be helpful to get that into the document before we take out the public hearing so the council could make that kind of selection. Moving on to quarterly allocations a little bit, if we're ready to do that. The quarterly allocations are shown in Section 5.5.2, and they're listed under specification values analyzed in the decision document on page 5. The quarterly allocations would be based on the historic landings from 2008 to 2010, which was recommended by the advisors, particularly from the southern area. The amounts are shown in the next to the last column. The purpose of the quarterly allocations would be to monitor landings against those quarters and to affect accountability measures, in-season accountability measures to go to the incidental possession limit by quarter rather than letting things run through the end of the year and have an extended closure at the end of the year. Okay, how I'm going to describe this. There are two flavors of this. Let me describe the two flavors, and then I'll come back to the third alternative. The two flavors of making these either adjustments or accounting for accountability measures, when they are described in section 5.5.4, beginning on page 55 and at the top of page 6 of your decision document. When this approach was originally developed, the advisors suggested, well, this quarterly allocation would be work, but we need a mechanism to make adjustments for overages and underages each quarter to be able to access landings that weren't taken in a previous quarter. And so the initial approach was to take the landings that had not been landed in quarter one and apply them to quarter three, and the landings of quarter two, and also apply those to quarter three if they had not been landed in quarter two. And then quarter four would be a wrap-up of quarters three and quarters four. Concerns came to light through the PDT that this was a difficult-to-handle mechanism. It had been modeled after a fishery, namely the squid fishery, that had certain fishery patterns and different fleets that might not be appropriate or applicable to the whiting fishery. And so a second alternative was developed to roll over those TALs through essentially a cumulative mechanism. In other words, the TAL for quarter one would be accounted for by landings in quarter one, and the TAL for quarters one and two would be accounted for by the cumulative landings through quarter two. Quarter three would be the same, and quarter four. Accountability measures would be triggered for that quarter when the landings exceeded the cumulative landings exceeded the cumulative TAL up until that time, either for quarters one, cumulative for quarter two, cumulative for quarter three, and as in the same as the first alternative, quarter four is a wrap-up to account for all previous landings and overages. So the committee is... I'll come back and explain the preferred alternative in a second. Going back one step to page 5, the advisors recommended that this quarterly TAL mechanism come into play and become effective when landings began reaching a high percentage, namely two-thirds of the TAL. Of the proposed TAL. And so for Red Hake, we're currently about 50%, and for Silver Hake, we're currently about 25%. So this quarterly TAL mechanism wouldn't become effective in this delayed mechanism until landings would increase or future TAL would decrease. That is the preferred alternative being recommended by the committee, consistent with the advisor's recommendation, and the roll-up procedure that was developed subsequently would apply to that quarterly allocation. That is also being proposed by the committee as a preferred alternative. Neither of those, of course, is being proposed in the secretarial amendment. Hopefully I did an adequate job of that and didn't confuse everybody, because granted, it's a little complicated. I can move on to the Southern Area TA accountability measures and the incidental limits if there are no questions. Okay, moving on. At the bottom of page 6, Southern Area in-season accountability measures, the measures are exactly the same as in the north. They're just could be applied in different ways. The range of analysis as an incidental limit to be triggered at 90% of the TAL, either annual or quarterly, 200, 300, and 400 pounds for red hake, 500, 1,000, and 2,000 pounds for silver hake, all would be included in the document and have been analyzed. The PDT has recommended that the 400 and 2,000 pounds should be sufficient to achieve the desired effects and be effective while minimizing discards. And the committee is proposing using 400 and 2,000 pounds as the preferred alternative, 2,000 pounds for silver hake being higher than the 1,000 pounds being proposed as a proposed action in the secretarial amendment. Seeing no questions, moving on page 7, at the top of page 7, there was discussion, early discussion by the advisors, developed into alternatives to establish year-round red hake possession limits, modeled after and similar to the year-round silver hake possession limits that currently exist. They are specified by mesh category to encourage more selective fishing effort, size selective fishing effort. In the context of ACLs and AMs, however, they take on a little bit different meaning, and that is to potentially prevent a derby-style fishing activity, particularly with vessels with very small mesh, when landings appear that they will or have begun approaching the TALs. So for in the northern area, based upon analysis, the committee, based upon the analysis and recommendations of PDT, the committee is proposing taking out to public hearing a range of possession limits for vessels in the north using 2.5 to 5 inch mesh cod in from 1,000 to 3,000 pounds, and lower limits ranging from 300 to 1,200 pounds for vessels either using mesh smaller than 2.5 inch or larger than 5 inch mesh, both typically targeting other species other than red and silver hake. And basically you're talking about the herring fishery and the shrimp fishery in the northern area using small mesh, and of course large mesh groundfish fishery using mesh larger than 5 inches. In the southern area, the same type of mesh breakout, but at different limits, ranging from 4,000 pounds to 10,000 pounds for vessels using 2.5 to 5 inch mesh. Typically 3 inch mesh is used to target silver and red hake in both the north and the south, and a range from 2,000 to 6,000 pounds for all their gears and mesh in the south. The range was selected based upon observed landings. I think it was 2008 to 2010. The analysis is in the document. The upper end of the range would basically affect no trips during that time period, or would have affected no trips, but act as a precaution for vessels landing large volumes of fish just prior to reaching the 90% of the TAL that would trigger an accountability measure. The other end of the range, 1,000 pounds in the north and 4,000 pounds in the south, for example, would affect few trips, but would have reduced landings by about 20%. So this is the characterization of the range that the committee is proposing taking out to public hearing. And then there's a no-action alternative, which would have no red hake limit, and that is actually the preferred alternative being recommended by the committee and isn't even addressed, even though it's a by default a preferred is included in the secretarial amendment, because it's not included in the secretarial amendment. There are no studies, unlike silver hake, to suggest that the larger mesh is actually more effective in improving size selectivity for red hake. They have a little bit different body style than silver hake, but still have a gadded-like form, and so size selection may exist, even though that we don't have hard data selecting that suggesting that it does. However, it could also be effective at keeping vessels with very large small mesh or large mesh from increasing their landings and or catch of red or silver hake when the landings approach the TALs. If there are no questions with year-round red hake possession limits, I'll move on to TAL monitoring requirements. Okay, moving on. We needed a mechanism to allocate landings by stock area in a timely manner during the season, since we're proposing in-season accountability measures. Although some vessels in the fishery are already required to make weekly vessel trip reports via other fisheries and plans that they participate in, Amendment 19 would formally propose that vessels submit weekly vessel trip reports to allow more timely and accurate monitoring of the TAL triggers, either by stock area, north versus south, or by assignment of catch and landings to the the exemption areas, or by quarter. This was supported by the advisory panel. Regardless of which TAL allocation is selected, and is recommended by the PDT as a means of doing this, and the committee is proposing that as a preferred alternative. The non-preferred alternative would be to automatically assign landings to management program based upon the gear use, which would be consistent with the methods that the PDT has used to estimate small mesh landings targets. But then again, on dealer reports, you still need to determine what type of gear and what mesh is being used. It wouldn't be as timely as the preferred alternative. No action is no real-time monitoring and is a non-preferred alternative. I'm not sure whether the secretarial amendment is proposing weekly VTRs. It is not, okay? So that's not included in the secretarial amendment, and that may be a significant difference that the council may want to comment on. With no questions about the weekly VTRs, I'll move on to postseason accountability measures. All right, seeing none, moving forward. There are two accountability measures, both to be applied in the second year following an overage of the ACL. So if the overage occurred in 2013, adjustments would be made to the 2015 specifications. First, there's a pound-for-pound payback provision. So if the ACL is exceeded by 1,000 tons after adding up landings and estimated discards and state landings, the ACL for 2015, or the second year, would be reduced by 1,000 tons. The second alternative is to reduce the incidental possession limit trigger, which would be, which could be 90%, as proposed in the document. It could be reduced by an equal percentage, again in year two, to reduce the risk of persistent overfishing, reduce the risk of continuing to exceed the ACL. You would be imposing the incidental limits earlier in the fishing year than they had been imposed before to reduce the effect that the fishery would have on exceeding the ACL. This is similar to what is included in the SCATE amendment, for example. And after discussion of the potential effects, the committee is proposing the adjusting the possession limit or TAL trigger as a preferred alternative. That's a bit different than the secretarial amendment, which is proposing a pound for pound payback as the preferred alternative. The PDT opinion was that neither alternative addresses the problem source if the overage occurs to due to discarding or, in fact, increases in state landings. That would be addressed through the normal specifications mechanism, so the PDT had no preference to either alternative. And I'm at the end of the decision document, so I think that ends my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. I'd just like to say before we move on to the motions that the committee worked very closely with the staff and the advisors to come up with the best alternatives available. There are operational challenges with designing ACLs and AMs in an open access fishery because you really don't know who the participants are going to be. And you don't have real-time monitoring because, quite frankly, the costs exceed the value of the fishery by many orders of magnitude. So most of the, I would say all the committee alternatives are, you know, the best alternatives available given my previous description of the fishery. They're the best way to move forward and run the fishery and, you know, have accountability measures that will, you know, kick in at the appropriate time given our monitoring capabilities. So hope people will keep that in mind when they vote on the preferred alternatives.
Questions on that? Back to you. Oh, Mary Beth.
Just to add to that, as a member of the committee, I thought that in general it was a good process, incorporated the AP and their thoughts as we move forward, and so I think we're in good shape to go to public hearing on this.
Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, do we have a series of motions to put up? Okay. These are going to be lengthy. I don't know if I can read them from my seat or not. I'm going to try to vote on these as a package. If people have issues with any given motion, we'll just have to break it out separately. So if we could start at the top, I'll move on behalf of the committee to ask the council to recommend that NIMS adopt this accountability measure, 2,000 pounds for silverhake, preferred alternative in draft amendment 19, for both stock areas as the final action in the secretarial amendment. Next, to adopt new overfishing definitions in section 5.1 as preferred alternatives. Next, to add a new alternative to section 5.2.2.3 as a preferred alternative that the National Marine Fisheries Service prepare annual landings, discard summaries, and trends in survey biomass in consultation with the plan development team to be reported to the council in June. Next, to adopt a stock-wide total allowable landings for the northern stock area, section 5.3.1, as proposed in the secretarial amendment as the preferred alternative. This is also the no-action alternative. Next, to adopt a 400-pound incidental possession limit as a Red Hake accountability measure in the Northern Stock Area, Section 5.4.1.3, as the preferred alternative. This is also expected to be approved in the secretarial amendment and is therefore the no-action alternative. Next, to adopt a 2,000-pound incidental possession limit as a Silver Hake accountability measure in the Northern Stock Area, Section 5.4.2.3, as the preferred alternative. This is the alternative recommended by the PDT to be considered as preferred. Next, to adopt a triggered quarterly allocation, Section 5.5.3, and the roll-up monitoring process, Section 5.5.4.2, as preferred alternatives. Next, to use the recommended language in paragraph 3 to address concerns by the National Marine Fisheries Service with Section 5.5.4.1, in parentheses, a quarterly total allowable landing adjustment process, and treat it as a non-preferred alternative. Next, to adopt a 400-pound incidental possession limit as a Red Hake accountability measure in the Southern Stock Area, Section 5.6.1.3, as the preferred alternative. This measure is also expected to be approved in the secretarial amendment. Next, to adopt a 2,000-pound incidental possession limit as an accountability measure for Silver Hake in the Southern Stock Area, Section 5.6.2.3, as the preferred alternative. This is the alternative recommended by the plan development team to be considered as preferred. Next, to adopt no action in Section 5.7.3, parentheses, no year-round Red Hake possession limit, for both stocks as the preferred alternative. Next, to adopt Section 5.8.1, requiring weekly vessel trip reports and assign landings to stock and or management area as a preferred alternative. Finally, to adopt Section 5.9.2 to reduce the incidental possession limit trigger as a post-season accountability measure as a preferred alternative. That's quite a motion.
Did you get Dr. Pierce to write that motion for you?
We are sitting together, so he has been consulting as my expert.
Okay, we will, I'm going to ask if there are any holds on any of the section. Any discussion on the motion? This is going to go, this is a document going to public, out for public comment, but I will ask, anybody have any comments from the audience? Back to the committee.
I'll just reiterate my concern about the quarterly monitoring using the VTRs, and that could be a problem for us in doing as quickly as we can for some other fisheries.
Anything else? Call the question. All those in favor of the motion so indicate. Opposed? Abstention? 1. 15-01. The motion carries. Back to you, Dave.
Okay. I'll make a motion which is not on behalf of the committee. It'll be an individual motion, and that is to take Draft Amendment 19 to public hearing.
Is there a second? Laura. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor, so indicate. 16-00. Motion carries. Dave.
To my knowledge, that completes our business, unless I'll just bring back that issue that we started with. Does anybody wish to have comment made on the secretarial interim action? If nobody does, then our business is completed.
Thank you, and thank you, Andy, for your work on this. We'll move right into monkfish.